You probably learned about your sun sign pretty early in life. Most people will learn their sign, read one or two horoscopes, and figure that it's barely accurate, or worse, completely made up. You might read the traits of your sign and feel pigeonholed, thinking, "This is only a small part of who I am." And you'd be correct. You might have also noticed that there's more than 12 types of people out there. This doesn't mean astrology is fake. It means you aren't getting the whole story. The truth is, to get the whole story, you need the whole chart. You have to see where all the planets are, how they affect each other, blending and clashing to create the complex person that you are. The best way to get started is to pick up a free astrology app or go to a well-known website such as astro.com and type in the date, time, and location that you were born. My list of recommended resources is in the show notes for episode 1. If you picked a Sirius program, it should now be showing you a circular chart filled with symbols and divided into 12 segments. This is your natal chart. You can cast them for anyone, or even for an object or event. Anything with a beginning has a natal chart. From here on out, I'll be calling the owner of the chart the native. The first thing I recommend if you want to learn the system of astrology that I use is to go into settings on whatever program or website you're using and change the house system to whole sign. Most apps use Placidus as the default, but I use whole sign and would recommend it to anyone who doesn't already have a preference. Now look to the leftmost middle point on your chart. Identify the sign in the first house. This is the sign that contains your ascendant, also known as your rising sign. The app should show an arrow or some other kind of symbol to show the precise degree of your ascendant, which will be important later, but we can put that aside for now. The ascendant is the most important of the four angles of the chart to you because it is you. It's the eastern horizon, where the sky meets the earth and the sun rises every day. Basically, where soul meets body. It's your first house and determines what sign falls into the rest of the houses. The signs, in zodiacal order, are Aries, ruled by Mars, Taurus, ruled by Venus, Gemini, ruled by Mercury, Cancer, ruled by the Moon, Leo, ruled by the Sun, Virgo, ruled by Mercury, Libra, ruled by Venus, Scorpio, ruled by Mars, Sagittarius, ruled by Jupiter, Capricorn and Aquarius, both ruled by Saturn, and Pisces, ruled by Jupiter. Pay careful attention especially to what planet is ruling your ascending sign. It may be the most important planet in your chart. But in no particular order, the planets are as follows: Moon, Sun, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, and the asteroid known as Chiron. Additional points of interest to all astrologers include the Ascendant, the MC, also known as the Midheaven, the IC, the point at the bottom of the chart opposite your Midheaven, and the Lunar Nodes. The nodes are a bit mysterious in astrology, but in astronomical terms, they're the places where the next solar and lunar eclipses are set to take place. We'll leave it at that for now, but there will be an episode on the nodes later on in the series. Now, obviously, you shouldn't be getting all of your information from me if you want to become a serious student of astrology. But it's important to take care of knowing what system any information that you find out there is applying to. There are several main types of astrology that use the same zodiac, and it's important when researching to understand what tradition it's coming from. The system I use and teach is Western astrology using the tropical zodiac. The other type of zodiac is the sidereal zodiac, and that's used most commonly, but not exclusively, in Indian astrology. It uses the same signs, but the entire zodiac is about 20 degrees behind. You could be a sidereal Aries, but a tropical Taurus. The meaning of each signs are slightly different between the two zodiacs as well, so that's why it's important to keep these things straight. There's also modern astrology, which mostly focuses on the psychological impacts of the planets, and it uses a different set of rulers for certain signs. I use some elements from modern, but I put a strong emphasis on the wisdom of traditional authors. Now that you have your chart and know where your planets are, we can start interpreting what they mean. The way that any planet will manifest varies depending on the house and sign that it's found in, as well as its position compared to the other planets. We're going to get into houses and signs later on in the series, but for now, we'll explain how planets interact based on their position relative to each other. This is called aspects. Planetary aspects are shown by default on every app that I recommend, so the best way to learn how an aspect shows up for you is just to look at your chart, understand what the planets represent, and then see how those parts of your life interact in real life, comparing them to the aspects that the planets have to each other in your chart. Two planets together in a sign is called a conjunction. A conjunction begins when two planets start to be in the same sign, and grows stronger the closer they are to one another. In other words, you'll see far more tangible effects happening in real life from two planets that are occupying the same degree of the same sign than one that's at 29 degrees with the other one at 0 degrees. A conjunction is considered a hard aspect. That doesn't always refer to the nature of the placement itself being especially difficult for the native, but just means that the aspect creates enough friction that it's more likely to cause things to happen in the physical world. The other hard aspects are squares, when two planets are separated by three signs or approximately 90 degrees, and oppositions, where the planets are in opposite signs. The other type of aspects are called harmonious aspects. These are trines, when a planet is four signs or approximately 120 degrees away from another, and sextiles, when they're two signs away and thus about 60 degrees. So now you have your chart, and enough information to know yourself and your life a bit better than you did before. But how will this help you in the future? By tracking the transits. Transits refer to where the planets are now, and where they are relative to your own natal chart. For example, this year on my birthday, I experienced this horrible yellow rash on my face, and when I looked at the chart, I saw that Mars, representing inflammation, was directly on top of my natal Saturn, which represents skin. Transits don't always manifest that literally, but it's a great example. Just like everything else, I'll explain transits more throughout the series, and this is really just more of a primer to help you understand what I'm talking about throughout the rest of the series. But just for a moment, I'm going to circle back to the sun sign. How important is it, really? Well, it depends on your individual chart. For example, a Leo rising will obviously want to pay more attention to the sun than the rest of us because that's the ruler of their ascendant. But sun sign astrology just wasn't a thing for most of history. The ascendant has always been the real focus. The importance of your sun can also vary depending on whether you were born during the day or the night. This is known as sect. You're either of the day sect or the night sect. For the night sect, the moon is our sect light and considered to be more important than the sun. So if your current astrology knowledge is just about sun signs alone, you can probably throw that out or use it as scrap paper. And if you see anything that mentions a 13th sign, do the same. Or maybe safely burn it for good measure. That's all for now. The song for today's episode is Two Planets by Bat for Lashes.